Success Live with the Reverend Donald Gordon Carty, Ph.D.
Segment 17, The Masterpiece System by Charles F. Hennell, Introduction and Part 1. Segment 17, The Master Key System by Charles F. Hennell, with Donald Gordon Carty. The original Master Key System writings, available only through referrals from one person to another, were a closely guarded secret in Europe for decades, a century ago. They were considered essentially secret wisdom teachings amongst primarily only the very wealthy, a testament to the worth of the esoteric techniques disclosed. In 1912, Charles F. Hennell published this body of knowledge as a work which he presented as the Master Key System. This material was distributed as a weekly correspondence course. 24 parts, including a transmittal letter and questions and answers, were sent to students who sought more out of life. The Master Key System had been out of print for some time, except for a few copies available in rare bookstores where the prices reflect the rarity. Motivational speakers and gurus have used this material as the foundation for seminars that cost as much as $20,000 per day to sponsor. Aggressive companies seeing the power of the course have placed it on audio cassette, enhancing the original work, making it more 21st century compatible, and selling this material from $400 to over $1,000. Some include on-site seminars and some include weekly telephone mentoring, but even with more attempts to bring this material to the limelight, only a very small percentage of the world's population has ever seen this material. It's no wonder the ultra-rich and incredibly successful individuals stay that way. These secrets have been guarded since they were first introduced. Just look at the self-improvement section at your local bookstore, and you'd think you'd have to read 100 self-development books to stand the slightest chance at achieving success. Fragments of Hennell's work appear in the material and messages of present-day gurus like Napoleon Hill, Earl Nightingale, Tony Robbins, Stephen Covey, and countless others. Unfortunately, these fragments often turn out to be just watered-down versions of Hennell's work. But somehow there is a significant step beyond awakening your inner giant, finding the habits of the successful, reading The Science of Getting Rich, or listening to The Strangest Secret. Motivational sessions are great, but have proven to be only temporary. That is why, after being motivated, we find ourselves battling the same struggles when the motivational pump-you-up session wanes. We can derive absolutely no benefit from books, seminars, experiences, environment, or anything else until we have created brain cells capable of receiving the thought. Our world within is an exact correspondence of the world without. Suppose for a moment that you are familiar with the Hebrew language. A book might be given to you with the most beautiful thoughts written in the most wonderful language, but it would mean nothing to you until you had made yourself acquainted with the Hebrew language, and so with everything else. No thought, no idea, no experience has any value for us until we are capable of receiving it. For this reason, the same thought would make absolutely no impression upon one man, while it would be received with amazement and delight by another. The first man has formed no brain cells capable of receiving it. The second man is ready for it. He understands the beauties contained in the idea. With the Master Key System, you will be amazed before you are halfway through the exercises and lessons. As you are enabled to think greater, deeper, higher, and more forceful thoughts, the brain cells are refined, they become more powerful, and they are enabled to receive finer vibrations. This is not only true in the material, the mental and spiritual world, but in the physical world. As the ear becomes trained in music, is it enabled to receive finer vibrations until the trained musician can hear harmonies of sound which the ordinary person is entirely unaware. We do not need to laboriously shovel the darkness out of a room before letting in the light. All that is necessary is to turn on the light, and the darkness vanishes. As you progress through the lessons, follow the instructions, and master the exercises, you will begin to show the characteristic signs of a general awakening. You will find optimism shining through the mist of doubt and unrest. This optimism is taking the form of illumination. As the illumination becomes general, fear, anger, doubt, selfishness, and greed pass away. You will be anticipating a more general realization of the truth, which will set you free. With the Master Key system, you don't have to read hundreds of books, just one. Now, for the first time since Charles Hanel first introduced this enlightening home study course material, you can now study it in the way it was originally intended and distributed, one lesson per week. A new edition with Donald Gordon Carty contains, in addition to the complete 24-part Master Key system, sections like reflection, which will serve as time markers, hourly helps, which will instruct you on how to handle the things which wear soul, spirit, and body almost to the snapping point, a section titled Interpreting the Word, which is a glossary of certain terms, and an explanation of the 12 universal laws as described today. The secret to all you need to get what you want out of life, health, wealth, and love is already within you. Now is the time to open it. Introduction. Nature compels us to all move through life. We could not remain stationary however much we wished. Every right-thinking person wants not merely to move through life like a sound-producing, perambulating plant, but to develop, to improve, and to continue the development mentally to the close of physical life. This development can occur only through the improvement of the quality of individual thought and the ideals, actions, and conditions that arise as a consequence. Hence, a study of the creative processes of thought and how to apply them is of supreme importance to each one of us. This knowledge is the means whereby the evolution of human life on Earth may be hastened and uplifted in the process. Humanity ardently seeks the truth and explores every avenue to it. In this process, it has produced a special literature which ranges the whole gamut of thought from the trivial to the sublime, up from divination through all the philosophies to the final lofty truth of the Master Key. The Master Key is here given to the world as a means of tapping the great cosmic intelligence and attracting from it that which corresponds to the ambitions and aspirations of each reader. Everything and situation we see around us, created by human agency, had first to exist as thought in some human mind. Thought, therefore, is constructive. Human thought is the spiritual power of the cosmos operating through its creature, man. The Master Key instructs the reader how to use that power, and use it both constructively and creatively. The things and conditions we desire to become realities we must first create in thought. The Master Key explains and guides the process. The Master Key teaching has been published in the form correspondence course of 24 lessons, delivered to students one per week for 24 weeks. The reader, who now receives the whole 24 parts at one time, is warned not to attempt to read the book like a novel, but to treat it as a course of study and conscientiously to imbibe the meaning of each part, reading and rereading one part only per week before proceeding to the next. Otherwise, the later parts will tend to be misunderstood and the reader's time and money will be wasted. Used as thus instructed, the Master Key will make of the reader a greater, better personality, and equipped with a new power to achieve any worthy personal purpose and a new ability to enjoy life's beauty and wonder. F. H. Burgess. Forward. Some men seem to attract success, power, wealth, attainment with very little conscious effort. Others conquer with great difficulty. Still others fail altogether to reach their ambitions, desires, and ideals. Why is this so? Why should some men realize their ambitions easily, others with difficulty, and still others not at all? The cause cannot be physical, else the most perfect men, physically, would be the most successful. The difference, therefore, must be mental, must be in the mind. Hence, mind must be the creative force, must constitute the sole difference between men. It is mind, therefore, which overcomes environment and every other obstacle in the path of men. When the creative power of thought is fully understood, its effect will be seen to be marvelous. But such results cannot be secured without proper application, diligence, and concentration. The student will find that the laws governing in the mental and spiritual world are as fixed and infallible as in the material world. To secure the desired results, then, it is necessary to know the law and to comply with it. A proper compliance with the law will be found to produce the desired result with invariable exactitude. The student who learns that power comes from within, that he is weak only because he is dependent on help from outside, and who unhesitatingly throws himself on his own thought, instantly rights himself, stands erect, assumes a dominant attitude, and works miracles. It is evident, therefore, that he who fails to fully investigate and take advantage of the wonderful progress which is being made in this last and greatest science will soon be as far behind as the man who would refuse to acknowledge and accept the benefits which have accrued to mankind through an understanding of the laws of electricity. Of course, mind creates negative conditions just as readily as favorable conditions, and when we consciously or unconsciously visualize every kind of lack, limitation, and discord, we create these conditions. This is what many are unconsciously doing all the time. This law, as well as every other law, is no respecter of persons, but is in constant operation and is relentlessly bringing to each individual exactly what he has created. In other words, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Abundance, therefore, depends on a recognition of the laws of abundance, and the fact that mind is not only the creator, but the only creator of all there is. Certainly nothing can be created before we know that it can be created, and then make the proper effort. There is no more electricity in the world today than there was 50 years ago, but until someone recognized the law by which it could be made of service, we receive no benefit. Now that the law is understood, practically the whole world is lit by it. So with the law of abundance. Those who recognize the law and place themselves in harmony with it, who share in its benefits. The scientific spirit now dominates every field of effort. Relations of cause and effect are no longer ignored. The discovery of a region of law marked an epoch in human progress. It eliminated the element of uncertainty and caprice in men's lives, and substituted law, reason, and certitude. Men now understand that for every result, there is an adequate and definite cause, so that when a given result is desired, they seek the condition by which alone this result may be attained. The basis upon which all law rests was discovered by inductive reasoning, which consists of comparing a number of separate instances with one another until the common factor which gives rise to them, all, is seen. It is this method of study to which the civilized nations owe the greater part of their prosperity and the more valuable part of their knowledge. It has lengthened life, it has mitigated pain, it has spanned rivers, it has brightened the night with the splendor of the day, extended the range of vision, accelerated motion, annihilated distance, facilitated intercourse, and enabled men to descend into the sea and into the air. What wonder, then, that men soon endeavor to extend the blessings of this system of study to their method of thinking, so that when it became plainly evident that certain results followed a particular method of thinking, it only remained to classify these results. This method is scientific, and is the only method by which we shall be permitted to retain that degree of liberty and freedom which we have been accustomed to look upon as an inalienable right. Because a people is safe at home and in the world only if national preparedness means such things as growing surplus of health, accumulated efficiency in public and private business of whatever sort, continuous advance in the science and the art of acting together, and the increasingly dominant endeavor to make all of these and all other aspects of national development center and revolve about ascending life, single and collective, for which science, art, and ethics furnish guidance and controlling motives. The master key is based on absolute scientific truth, and will unfold the possibilities that lie dormant in the individual, and teach how they may be brought into powerful action to increase the person's effective capacity, bringing added energy, discernment, vigor, and mental elasticity. The student who gains an understanding of the mental laws which are unfolded will come into the possession of an ability to secure results hitherto undreamed of, and which has rewards hardly to be expressed in words. It explains the correct use of both the receptive and the active elements of the mental nature, and instructs the student in the recognition of opportunity. It strengthens the will and reasoning powers and teaches the cultivation and best uses of imagination, desire, the emotions, and the intuitional faculty. It gives initiative, tenacity of purpose, wisdom of choice, intelligent sympathy, and a thorough enjoyment of life on its higher planes. The Master Key teaches the youth mind power, true mind power, not any of the substitutes and perversions. It has nothing to do with hypnotism, magic, or any of the more or less fascinating deceptions by which many are led to think that something can be had for nothing. The Master Key cultivates and develops the understanding which will enable you to control the body and thereby the health. It improves and strengthens the memory. It develops insight, and the kind of insight which is so rare, the kind which is in the distinguishing characteristic of every successful businessman, the kind which enables men to see the possibilities as well as the difficulties in every situation, the kind which enables men to discern opportunity close at hand. For thousands fail to see opportunities almost within their grasp while they are industriously working with situations which under no possibility can be made to realize any substantial return. The Master Key develops mental power, which means that others instinctively recognize that you are a person of force, of character, that they want to do what you want them to do. It means that you attract men and things to you, that you are what some people call lucky, that things come your way, that you have come into an understanding of the fundamental laws of nature and have put yourself in harmony with them, that you are in tune with infinite, that you understand the law of attraction, the natural laws of growth, and the psychological laws on which all advantages in the social and business world rest. Mental power is creative power. It gives you the ability to create for yourself. It does not mean the ability to take something away from someone else. Nature never does things that way. Nature makes two blades of grass grow where one grew before. The mind power enables men to do the same thing. The Master Key develops insight and sagacity, increased independence, the ability and disposition to be helpful. It destroys distrust, depression, fear, melancholia, and every form of lack, limitation, and weakness, including pain and disease. It awakens buried talents, supplies initiative, force, energy, vitality. It awakens an appreciation of the beautiful in art, literature, and science. It has changed the lives of thousands of men and women by substituting definite principles for uncertain and hazy methods, and principles for the foundation upon which every system of efficiency must rest. Albert Gary, the chairman of the United States Steel Corporation, said, "The services of advisors, instructors, efficiency experts, and successful management are indispensable to most business enterprises of magnitude, but I deem the recognition and adoption of right principles vastly more important." The Master Key teaches right principles and suggests methods for making a practical application of the principles, in that it differs from every other course of study. It teaches that the only possible value which can attach to any principle is in its application. Many read books, take home study courses, attend lectures all their lives without ever making any progress in demonstrating the value of the principles involved. The Master Key suggests methods by which the value of the principles taught may be demonstrated and put in actual practice in the daily experience. There is a change in the thought of the world. This change is silently transpiring in our midst, and is more important than any which the world undergone since the downfall of paganism. The present revolution in the opinions of all classes of men, the highest and most cultured of men, as well as those of the laboring class, stands unparalleled in the history of the world. Science has of late had such vast discoveries, has revealed such an infinity of resources, has unveiled such enormous possibilities and such unsuspected forces, that scientific men more and more hesitate to affirm certain theories as established and indubitable, or to deny certain other theories as absurd or impossible. And so a new civilization is being born. Customs, creeds, and cruelty are passing. Vision, faith, and service are taking their place. The fetters of tradition are being melted off from humanity, and as the dross of materialism is being consumed, thought is being liberated and truth is rising, full-ordered before an astonished multitude. The whole world is on the eve of a new consciousness, a new power and a new consciousness, a new power and a new realization of the resources within the self. The last century saw the most magnificent material progress in history. The present century will produce the greatest progress in mental and spiritual power. Physical science has resolved matter into molecules, molecules into atoms, atoms into energy, and it has remained for Sir Ambrose Fleming in an address before the Royal Institution to resolve this energy into mind. He says, "In its ultimate essence, energy may be incomprehensible by us except as an exhibition of the direct operation of that which we call mind or will." Let us see what are the most powerful forces in nature. In the mineral world, everything is solid and fixed. In the animal and vegetable kingdom, it is in a state of flux, forever changing, always being created and recreated. In the atmosphere, we find heat, light, and energy. Each realm becomes finer and more spiritual as we pass from the visible to the invisible, from the coarse to the fine, from the low potentiality to the high potentiality. When we reach the invisible, we find energy in its purest and most volatile state. And as the most powerful forces of nature are the invisible forces, so we find that the most powerful forces of man are his invisible forces, his spiritual force, and the only way in which the spiritual force can manifest is through the process of thinking. Thinking is the only activity which the spirit possesses, and thought is the only product of thinking. Addition and subtraction are therefore spiritual transactions. Reasoning is a spiritual process. Ideas are spiritual conceptions. Questions are spiritual searchlights, and logic, argument, and philosophy is spiritual machinery. Every thought brings into action certain physical tissue, parts of the brain, nerve, or muscle. This produces an actual physical change in the construction of the tissue. Therefore, it is only necessary to have a certain number of thoughts on a given subject in order to bring about a complete change in the physical organization of a man. This is the process by which failure is changed to success. Thoughts of courage, power, inspiration, harmony are substituted for thoughts of failure, despair, lack, limitation, and discord, and as these thoughts take root, the physical tissue is changed and the individual sees life in a new light. Old things have actually passed away. All things have become new. He is born again, this time born of the Spirit. Life has a new meaning for him. He is reconstructed and is filled with joy, confidence, hope, energy. He sees opportunities for success to which he has heretofore been blind. He recognizes possibilities which before had no meaning to him. The thoughts of success with which he has been impregnated are radiated to those around him, and they in turn help him onward and upward. He attracts to him new and successful associates, and this in turn changes his environment, so that by this simple exercise of thought, a man changes not only himself, but his environment, circumstances, and conditions. You will see, you must see, that we are at the dawn of a new day, that the possibilities are so wonderful, so fascinating, so limitless as to be almost bewildering. A century ago, any man with an aeroplane, or even a Gatling gun, could have annihilated a whole army equipped with the implements of warfare then in use. So it is at present. Any man with a knowledge of the possibilities contained in the Master Key has an inconceivable advantage over the multitude. Charles F. Hennell. It is my privilege to enclose herewith part one of the Master Key system. Would you bring into your life more power? Get the power consciousness. More health? Get the health consciousness. More happiness? Get the happiness consciousness. Live the spirit of these things until they become yours by right. It will then become impossible to keep them from you. The things of the world are fluid to a power within man by which he rules them. You need not acquire this power. You already have it. But you want to understand it. You want to use it. You want to control it. You want to impregnate yourself with it, so that you can go forward and carry the world before you. Day by day, as you go on and on, as you gain momentum, as your inspiration deepens, as your plans crystallize, as you gain understanding, you will come to realize that this world is no dead pile of stones and timber, but that it is a living thing. It is made up of the beating hearts of humanity. It is a thing of life and beauty. It is evident that it requires understanding to work with material of this description. But those who come into this understanding are inspired by a new light, a new force. They gain confidence and greater power each day. They realize their hopes and their dreams come true. Life has a deeper, fuller, clearer meaning than before. And now, part one. 1. That much gathers more is true on every plane of existence, and that loss leads to greater loss is equally true. 2. Mind is creative, and conditions, environment, and all experiences in life are the result of our habitual or predominant mental attitude. 3. The attitude of mind necessarily depends upon what we think. Therefore, the secret of all power, all achievement, and all possession depends upon our method of thinking. 4. This is true because we must be before we can do, and we can do only to the extent which we are, and what we are depends upon what we think. 5. We cannot express powers that we do not possess. The only way by which we may secure possession of power is to become conscious of power. And we can never become conscious of power until we learn that all power is from within. 6. There is a world within, a world of thought and feeling and power, of light and life and beauty, and, although invisible, its forces are mighty. 7. The world within is governed by mind. When we discover this world, we shall find the solution for every problem, the cause for every effect. And since the world within is subject to our control, all laws of power and possession are also within our control. 8. The world without is a reflection of the world within. What appears without is what has been found within. In the world within may be found infinite wisdom, infinite power, infinite supply of all that is necessary, waiting for unfoldment, development, and expression. If we recognize these potentialities in the world within, they will take form in the world without. 9. Harmony in the world within will be reflected in the world without by harmonious conditions, agreeable surroundings, the best of everything. It is the foundation of health and a necessary essential to all greatness, all power, all attainment, all achievement, and all success. 10. Harmony in the world within means the ability to control our thoughts and to determine for ourselves how any experience is to affect us. 11. Harmony in the world within results in optimism and affluence. Affluence within results in affluence without. 12. The world without reflects the circumstances and the conditions of the consciousness within. 13. If we find wisdom in the world within, we shall have the understanding to discern the marvelous possibilities that are latent in this world within, and we shall be given the power to make these possibilities manifest in the world without. 14. As we become conscious of the wisdom in the world within, we mentally take possession of this wisdom, and by taking mental possession, we come into actual possession of the power and wisdom necessary to bring into manifestation the essentials necessary for our most complete and harmonious development. 15. The world within is the practical world in which men and women of power generate courage, hope, enthusiasm, confidence, trust, and faith, by which they are given the fine intelligence to see the vision and the practical skill to make the vision real. 16. Life is an unfoldment, not accretion. What comes to us in the world without is what we already possess in the world within. 17. All possession is based on consciousness. All gain is a result of an accumulative consciousness. All loss is the result of a scattering consciousness. 18. Mental efficiency is contingent upon harmony. Discord means confusion. Therefore, he who would acquire power must be in harmony with natural law. 19. We are related to the world without by the objective mind. The brain is the organ of this mind, and the cerebrospinal system of nerves puts us in conscious communication with every part of the body. This system of nerves responds to every sensation of light, heat, odor, sound, and taste. 20. When this mind thinks correctly, when it understands the truth, when the thoughts sent through the cerebrospinal nervous system to the body are constructive, these sensations are pleasant, harmonious. 21. The result is that we build strength, vitality, and all constructive forces into our body, but it is through this same objective mind that all distress, sickness, lack, limitation, and every form of discord and inharmony is admitted to our lives. It is therefore through the objective mind, by wrong thinking, that we are related to all destructive forces. 22. We are related to the world within by the subconscious mind. The solar plexus is the organ of this mind. The sympathetic system of nerves presides over all subjective sensations such as joy, fear, love, emotion, respiration, imagination, and all other subconscious phenomena. It is through the subconscious that we are connected with the universal mind and brought into relation with the infinite constructive forces of the universe. 23. It is the coordination of these two centers of our being and the understanding of their functions which is the great secret of life. With this knowledge, we can bring the objective and subjective minds into conscious cooperation and thus coordinate the finite and the infinite. Our future is entirely with our own control. It is not at the mercy of any capricious or uncertain external power. 24. All agree that there is but one principle or consciousness pervading the entire universe, occupying all space and being essentially the same in kind at every point of its presence. It is all-powerful, all-wisdom, and always present. All thoughts and things are within itself. It is all in all. 25. There is but one consciousness in the universe able to think, and when it thinks, its thoughts become objective things to it. As this consciousness is omnipresent, it must be present within every individual. Each individual must be a manifestation of that omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent consciousness. 26. As there is only one consciousness in the universe that is able to think, it necessarily follows that our consciousness is identical with the universal consciousness, or, in other words, all mind is one mind. There is no dodging this conclusion. 27. The consciousness that focuses in your brain cells is the same consciousness which focuses in the brain cells of every other individual. Each individual is but the individualization of the universal, the cosmic mind. 28. The universal mind is static or potential energy. It simply is. It can manifest only through the individual, and the individual can manifest only through the universal. They are one. 29. The ability of the individual to think is his ability to act on the universal and bring it into manifestation. Human consciousness consists only in the ability of man to think. Mind in itself is believed to be a subtle form of static energy, from which arises the activities called thought, which is the dynamic phase of mind. Mind is static energy. Thought is dynamic energy. Two phases of the same thing. Thought is therefore the vibratory force formed by converting static mind into dynamic mind. 30. As the sum of all attributes are contained in the universal mind, which is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent, these attributes must be present at all times in their potential form in every individual. Therefore, when the individual thinks, the thought is compelled by its nature to embody itself in an objectivity or condition which will correspond with its origin. 31. Every thought, therefore, is a cause and every condition an effect. For this reason, it is absolutely essential that you control your thoughts so as to bring forth only desirable conditions. 32. All power is from within, and is absolutely under your control. It comes through exact knowledge and by the voluntary exercises of exact principles. 33. It should be plain that when you acquire a thorough understanding of this law and are able to control your thought processes, you can apply it to any condition. In other words, you will have come into conscious cooperation with omnipotent law, which is the fundamental basis of all things. 34. The universal mind is the life principle of every atom which is in existence. Every atom is continually striving to manifest more life. All are intelligent, and all are seeking to carry out the purpose for which they were created. 35. A majority of mankind lives in the world without. Few have found the world within, and yet it is the world within that makes the world without. It is therefore creative, and everything which you should find in your world without has been created by you in the world within. 36. This system will bring you to a realization of power which will be yours when you understand this relation between the world without and the world within. The world within is the cause, the world without the effect. To change the effect, you must change the cause. 37. You will at once see that this is a radically new and different idea. Most men try to change effects by working with effects. They fail to see that this is simply changing one form of distress for another. To remove discord, we must remove the cause, and this cause can be found only in the world within. 38. All growth is from within. This is evident in all nature. Every plant, every animal, every human is a living testimony to this great law, and the error of the ages is in looking for strength or power from without. 39. The world within is the universal fountain of supply, and the world without is the outlet to the stream. Our ability to receive depends upon our recognition of this universal fountain, this infinite energy of which each individual is an outlet, and so is one with every other individual. 40. Recognition is a mental process. Mental action is therefore the interaction of the individual upon the universal mind, and as the universal mind is the intelligence which pervades all space and animates all living things, this mental action and reaction is the law of causation. But the principle of causation does not obtain in the individual, but in the universal mind. It is not an objective faculty, but a subjective process, and the results are seen in an infinite variety of conditions and experiences. 41. In order to express life, there must be mind. Nothing can exist without mind. Everything which exists is some manifestation of this one basic substance from which and by which all things have been created and are continually being recreated. 42. We live in a fathomless sea of plastic mind substance. This substance is ever alive and active. It is sensitive to the highest degree. It takes form according to the mental demand. Thought forms the mold or matrix from which the substance expresses. 43. Remember that it is in the application alone that the value consists, and that a practical understanding of this law will substitute abundance for poverty, wisdom for ignorance, harmony for discord, and freedom for tyranny. And certainly there can be no greater blessing than these from a material and social standpoint. 44. Now make the application. Select a room where you can be alone and undisturbed. Sit erect, comfortably, but do not lounge. Let your thoughts roam where they will, but be perfectly still for from 15 minutes to half an hour. Continue this for 3 or 4 days, or for a week until you secure full control of your physical being. 45. Many will find this extremely difficult. Others will conquer with ease. But it is absolutely essential to secure complete control of the body before you are ready to progress. Next week, you will receive instructions for the next step. In the meantime, you must have mastered this one.
This segment sponsored by the Personal Development Institute. Please visit them at www.thepdi.com or www.personaldevelopmentinstitute.com. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. Bye for now.
Success Live.
with the Reverend Donald Gordon Carty, Ph.D.